Welcome to How Can We Help, the advice podcast hosted by two people who have a loose relationship with the world of advice.
Loosey goosey, really baggy, wide cut.
Yeah, a boot cut relationship with advice.
Yes.
Lots of room for your boots in there. It's Jackie Pirico and me, Mark Little. Hello.
Hi. Sorry I interrupted your gorgeous intro with yes.
Totally fine. Yeah. Okay. We're just playing it fast and loose, like It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia dialogue.
Yeah, you're right.
A lot of overlapping, a lot of energy.
Yeah. Except for that dead air just there.
Yeah, that was terrible. That's where we need a Danny DeVito type to come in and scream.
Well, we do have maybe not a pure Danny DeVito type, but yeah. We've got some other type here with us.
Hello.
It's Jack Hirschfield, everyone. The
Hi,
funny,
Jack.
The terrific, the Kelowna born.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
A West Coast boy. I've always loved West Coast guys.
West Coast, Kelowna-fornia.
Jack, who's your sitcom parallel? You're kind of a Gen Z Chandler Bing, if I may.
Oh, okay. I like
better
that.
Than that. I think he's better than that.
Well, sure.
Gen Z Chandler Bing.
Gen Z Michael J. Fox in Spin City.
Yeah.
What was Michael J. Fox's deal in Spin City? Like, what was his character trait?
You know what? I couldn't tell you. Being cute and charming?
I think that was it. I don't think that's...
But what was it? Okay, it was him and the guy from Rocky Horror Picture Show, Barry... What's his name? The actor that played Brad in Rocky Horror Picture Show. Anyway, he was like the mayor.
I'd say I'm a Kramer. I'd say like...
That's what we need.
Kramer, you know?
Yeah, just sort of a quiet, subdued Kramer.
Yeah. Chill Kramer. Indica Kramer.
Yeah, you're Indica Kramer. You can handle any couch.
Yeah.
Easily navigate furniture. You knock politely.
I'm blowing through couch seats.
I can't believe I'm here with two West Coast guys. That's very cool.
It's cool.
And East Coast Stefan on the mic.
Yeah. And then nothing Ontario, Jackie. Ontario's nothing. There's no character traits. Ontario. It's so bland.
Ontario's got character traits.
Yeah.
It's what is it? Cars? Cars and driving?
I mean, Ontario is kind of the Canadian. Ontario and Newfoundland are what people think of when they think of Canadian. Like in terms of like how people talk.
Oh, like we have the kind of equivalent of the transatlantic, like just neutral. No, Ontario's nothing. We don't have any kind of way of, well, we.
No, I feel like it's in Ontario that you find people who start talking like this a little bit, you know?
Oh, well, yeah.
Ontario
rural.
And East. Yeah. It's a little bit rural.
It's fucking hockey.
And then it's
talk.
Also got like Toronto man slang.
Oh, I do not care for that.
Yeah.
BC has that too. Not Toronto man slang.
Can you do an impression of it?
Of Toronto man slang?
Of BC's. Of
no.
BC's. can you do an impression of BC's Hallmark accent?
It's kind of the same as like just any like Canadian like fuck yeah bud, kind of like that.
Okay.
That's true. You are from the interior, so we've got different BC experiences.
That's true, yeah. You're coastal Vancouver. Yeah. No real... like hillbilly activity going on.
No,
Mark's fancy.
Yeah.
Well, I was like suburban, industrial, residential.
Yeah.
Near the city. Metropolitan, greater metropolitan area.
Yeah. I'm downtown small town.
Downtown small
Whoa,
town.
Man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool. But like on the outskirts, there'd be like a lot of like weird communities that would like you hear of like messed up shit going on. Like there'd be an ostrich farm, like not too far from where I lived.
Yeah.
And like videos of like guys riding pigs. Which was
awesome.
Well,
I saw some weird shit in your downtown when I traveled there as a teen.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because I got there, I had like hitchhiked from Vancouver and I was in some gritty hostel. I was looking out the window and I saw just people like freebasing in the parking lot, like off of spoons, like cooking, I guess, heroin or crack off of spoons. And I called my dad and I'm like, just to let them know that I'd arrived. At checkpoints, and I was like, yeah, it's nice here, it's beautiful, but I think there's some guys like cooking crack or heroin in the parking lot on spoons. And my dad was like, oh yeah, that's typical. He said, you see, the geography of Canada is that this country's on a tilt towards the west coast, and all the loose screws and misfits and freaks roll out there.
That sounds science.
Because he spent a lot of time out there. And also I was swimming in Lake Okanagan in Kelowna.
Yeah.
At that park with that you can swim, or I don't know if you were allowed to swim, but I was swimming. Does that sound familiar to you?
You ducked the ropes.
I may have, yeah. And then I was swimming and then I had to pee. So I ran to the public bathroom, and in the public bathroom, a poor lady was also doing that kind of stuff in the bathroom. And she was like, don't tell anybody. And I'm like, I won't, I won't.
I'm the mayor.
Secret's safe with me.
And then I ran back to where like my towel was set up. But I was in bare feet. So I kept like looking on the grass for like in case there was like needles and stuff. Because she was injecting. And then very soon after I swam in that lake, I got strep throat.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd get that from a lake.
No, but it was all tied into the overall experience.
Why didn't you pee in the lake?
Maybe I didn't have to pee. Maybe I had to, no, I don't know. I don't know what else is there other than pee.
You had to cook
but
up.
But I would have pee.
You had to cook in your spoon. number three.
That's a great question, though, because I would just pee in the lake. I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was doing.
I was trying to dig into some new psychological tick that I didn't know about.
No, I'm a free peer. Like, not in pools, but in the beach and in the lake, I will always pee.
Yeah, me too.
You as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I'll do it in a pool, too.
You will not.
I'll go up close to a little kid who looks like he'd do it, and then I'll pee, and then I'll swim away just in case there's that dye that comes out.
I want to know if you actually pee in pools.
I'll pin it on a kid. No, I wouldn't pee in a pool.
Okay.
Here's what I know about Kelowna, but I always get it confused with Kamloops, but a heavy Hell's Angels presence.
Yes.
And a lot of cocaine. Yes. And those two things are connected.
A guy from my high school got kidnapped by Hell's Angels.
And what?
Made like a big Facebook post about it. Kind of ruled.
Who made a Facebook post about it?
The guy who got kidnapped.
From his lair where they were holding him?
No, he like got, like there was this big like search party. Like there was kind of like a missing poster thing.
Oh my God.
For this guy. It was like right after high school, but also his name's Keith. I'll say like his name's Keith. And when he turned 18, he got a Monster Energy tattoo.
Oh no.
Like that was his first tattoo. It was
very good.
Very hot. And then maybe like 9 months after that tattoo, he got kidnapped by the Hell's Angels.
Wow. They're like, we're going to ask you one more time. Where'd you get that?
Yeah.
You can't be the only one in town with that tattoo, brother.
That we is want so that. Awesome.
We love it. We want to know who did
we're
it, brother.
We're going to take you far away from here.
Can you imagine getting one of the most ubiquitously like sponsored logos that sponsor so many events for so much money tattooed on you for free? Yeah. For no money.
I love it. I kind of want that now.
It really ruled. But he like there was this whole campaign kind of like, look, like where's Keith?
Yeah.
Missing person.
Yeah.
Scenario. Like, where's Keith? Where is he?
It's funny to call it a campaign.
Yeah.
Just a search.
Door to door. Yeah, just a human search for a missing person, I guess.
Yeah.
And like 2 weeks go by and then they find him. But like he posts about it, that how he got found. And he's just like, well, I was kidnapped by the Hell's Angels. And then he showed a Google map of like where they took him. So he got kidnapped like outside of Vancouver, like I think in Coquitlam. And then he got brought up to Fort St. John, which is about like a 15 hour drive.
Oh my God.
And so why they I guess he like stole from them. Like he stole either money or drugs from the Hell's Angels. And they this is kind of messed up. The Hell's Angels branded him. They branded the word thief right next to the Monster Energy tattoo.
Oh my God.
But he
honestly, in terms of what you'd rather have on your body, sort of equal.
Down the road, he'll be removing the monster thing first before the thief.
I feel like those two things pair well.
Yeah. It was like the best Facebook post I've ever seen. Because he was like saying like, I've changed. Like, this is such a learning curve for me. Thank you guys, whoever like shared and like tried to find me. I'm turning over a new leaf. I'm not going to be like a thief anymore. But he posted a photo of the branding too. And it's like kind of this green infected,
oh,
like,
God.
Like thief.
Wow.
Kind of looking like that green claw.
Like the monster.
Wasn't he scared to like to say that this happened? Like, is he scared that he's going to get in more trouble from the Hell's Angels?
I imagine he would have.
He hasn't learned anything.
Yeah, but he took it down maybe like after 2 weeks.
Okay.
But,
so that's a long time. That's a big digital footprint of that.
Yeah, the Hell's Angels were just waiting outside his apartment with their burlap sack pointing to it like, take it down. What are you doing? Come we'll on, kidnap man. You again. We've shown you we will.
Yeah.
A kid in my high school branded himself with his, like, he had, this is disgusting, but it was infected, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He had a chain with the Rough Riders R on it.
Mm.
Remember? Yeah. Like Rough Riders, like DMX.
DMX, yeah.
And he, like, kept, he held this silver pendant under his lighter, like at school he did this, or maybe it was after school, but I remember, like, I was there and he was like lighting it on, like, and then heated it and then put it on his skin, and it became like a so infected, it's such a ugly scar. It was almost like a keloid. Do you know what that is? A keloid, like when scar tissue continues growing and it gets like really
bulgy?
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Like 3D.
Exactly. It was almost like body alteration, like 3D.
It's making a noise. Adds another D to it.
You know you're Canadian when you have to clarify that Rough Riders is about DMX and not the freaking CFL.
Wait, is that a thing? I don't even know that.
You don't know this? No. Rough Riders, it's the best. It's the best thing, and I'm so sad it got changed. There's like 8 teams in the CFL, and for a time, 2 of them were called the Rough Riders.
No,
yes.
Come on.
There's the Ottawa ones and then the Saskatchewan ones.
It's so avoidable.
It's so funny. It's so good. It's great. And then the Ottawa changed their name, but it was like, why? That's really funny. I would have loved to cheer for one of the Rough Riders.
And I just want the listeners at home to know that Mark knows what he's talking about, because right now you're wearing a football t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is for the and NFL, beer. Not the CFL. Actually, it's just for different beers.
It's a very cool shirt.
It's beers cool wearing football helmets.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Really cool. Actually, the more I Homer look at it, the less cool I think it is.
Your inner Homer?
My inner Homer. I could go for one.
Yeah, just like the Homer would put it.
Yeah.
I could go for one of those, Marge. That sounds like season one Homer. Yes. I feel like anyone can do an impression of season one Homer. Hey, Marge, how's it going?
Oh, yeah, that's
Jesus
it.
Christ.
That's right.
Just a man searching for
ouch.
A voice.
Ouch.
D'O. Now, Jack, you're a special guest on an advice podcast. Now, as we said in the intro, Jackie and I have no formal training in advice. Neither of us even took a psychology. I took one psychology class.
Right. I actually took quite a bit of psychology.
But you did?
Yeah, I did. Well, I had to for like for linguistics, like, there was a lot of psych stuff.
Ah.
But it doesn't give me any right or reason to tell anyone what to do.
No, although I do pass on a lot of what I learned from neuroscience TikTok. the new thing the algorithm has decided
is that
I like.
You now?
Yeah. The algorithm has decided there's one thing I like in addition to breasts and butts.
And Andrew Huberman.
It's Andrew Huberman talking. And then sometimes there's crossover.
Wait, isn't that your doctor?
Well, that's the doctor I follow.
Dr. Huberman. I've never heard anyone with such a close relationship with him that they called him Andrew. I didn't know that was his first name.
Jack knows him. Mm-hmm.
Andrew Huberman. Okay.
He's like a new popular guy.
Okay, yeah. So that's why you're seeing this on
your
TikTok.
He's my man side. Yeah. And then my woman side is Brené Brown.
Okay.
So I'm kind of just pop psychology all over.
Oh, I'm none.
I'll pass it on at the drop of a hat. And I'll pretend I'm just talking about me, but I'll try and give advice to friends all the time.
That's
but,
like when I would play the demo song from on my keyboard and pretend I was playing it.
Yeah. So that's our sort of loose relationship
yes.
with it. Jack, have you ever received good or bad advice?
I think the best advice I got was a friend started vlogging right after high school, right when he was 18. And he made this one vlog called The Secret to Happiness, which is the title of the video, which is an awesome title.
And it turns out it's the secret is being 18.
Yeah. He's 18 talking on his iMac. Whirly birds around his head.
What was the secret to happiness?
Okay, so he said there was 3 things. And it kind of sounded like Florida Georgia Line lyrics.
Yeah, after my time, but I can sort of place it. Yeah,
yeah. Where it was, you need 3 things. You need a car. Gotta have a car. you gotta have tunes. Good fucking tunes.
Wow.
Oh, but when he'd say car, he'd be like jokey with it. He'd be like, you need a car. You need a vehicle. You need a vehicle. Like, he'd be kind of coy with it.
Yeah.
And then he said, you need good tunes and good friends. Everything else, that's all you need. That's just a secret of happiness.
Wow, yeah.
And how do you find that advice? Do you think that that's true?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
Jack, do you have a car?
I don't have a car.
Do you have tunes?
Nah, yeah. Like, I got,
well,
I got,
you got the Florida Georgia Line. We know that.
I got Florida Georgia Line, Blake Shelton. I got The Voice. I guess, yeah. I got tunes.
Yeah, you're walking around with a voice LP. Yeah. I've never seen one of those.
Yeah. Season 1.
And friends, you do have lots of friends. You're very popular.
Yep. I'm friend rich. I'm friend rich.
Yeah, yeah, your just whole don't friend crew is very interesting. You guys really travel around in a little pack, and I like it.
Is that the outward view? Is that we?
Well, I
that
saw the like pack last night. I saw the pack last night at Comedy Bar.
We did see you last night.
I love that pack.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's the BC pack plus others.
Plus.
Yes. Yes.
Plus
and
Alex.
Co.
Yeah.
And et al.
Et al.
Mm-hmm.
Now, has this guy carried on with his advice blog at all?
He quit so fucking fast. But he's doing well for himself. He's like a videographer, and he's like, so he went on into like do cool stuff.
Yeah. He sounds like a good old boy, like one of the Kelowna types that you were talking about. Sort of like very Canadian.
He was my best friend. And this is maybe some advice, but we had a falling out.
Oh, no.
We had a falling out. He was my middle school best friend. He was best friends from grade 6 to grade 8.
Okay.
And I left him. You know what? And you shouldn't turn your back. You should stand by your man.
What did you leave him for?
Well, we just changed. We changed.
Yeah.
At that time, if I could quote you, Jack, he had no car.
Yeah.
And he had no tunes.
Yeah.
So Jack wasn't about
His tunes were busted. He was just into rank stuff. I think his favorite song at the time was Gold Dust. No, you know that song?
Gold Dust, no.
No, Humabar.
Yeah. It's like Gold Dust.
What the hell is that? What is that? Who sings it? Is it rap? What kind of style is
it? I think
it
might be like Major Lazer.
Oh.
Yeah.
That rings a bell.
I knew two Major Lazer songs. I liked them a lot.
Yeah. But he loved that song. But honestly, I feel so bad about this. There was a rumor going around that he stunk. That he just reeked.
Okay, but that how can that be a rumor? Either you stink or you don't. So if this rumor is going around, isn't that the smell that's traveling from people from nose to nose?
I made it seem like a rumor to him. I was like, no, you don't, dude. You don't stink.
But did he stink?
Yeah.
Of what? Of what, B.O.?
Like Burger King onion. Like bad
Right,
B.O.,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, so he was just going through puberty and he hadn't really figured out how to deal with the smell yet.
Yeah, couldn't take care of himself yet.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But then that's fixable and eventually he fixed it.
And eventually he fixed it.
Yeah.
But those
but
rumors, man.
Life,
once those rumors hit the rumor mill, that's hard to get ahead of that.
Yeah, that you reek.
So you abandoned him because of this stink reputation?
Yes. And I... Here's my advice.
Don't do that.
No, do it.
Oh.
Cut ties with stinky, reeky people.
Yeah.
Can
stinky
I say,
people, no, no.
I don't. Yeah. This sounds really unfair, and I know I'm harsh. I'm not the nicest person all the time, but I have no tolerance for stinks.
Mm.
I have no tolerance for it. Like, you don't have to be rich to be able to not stink. All you need is running. That's all you need is running water.
Yeah, those were the original Prince lyrics. I remember being in middle school and or high school, but yeah, that time when you become aware of your body and having bad breath was the thing I feared the most.
Right.
Because you didn't know if you had it. Like, you could smell your own pits and see what was going on there.
Yeah.
But if someone told you, oh, you've got bad breath, or if someone was like, Mark's got bad breath, it was like a death sentence. So I became like I became a compulsive mint eater at that time.
Yeah.
You know? And to this day, I'm a little... But I feel like I dated someone who had bad breath.
No, Mark.
And... It was short-lived, and that was a main reason for it, but I didn't know how to say anything. I couldn't say anything. I couldn't, like, figure out a way to say it because I was so afraid of, like, hurting their feelings, so
yes,
I just let it
go.
The
other
how old
side
were
of
you?
It.
Like, 30.
Oh.
In my late 20s, 30, yeah.
And now, there can be so many reasons for someone to have a stink breath. Like, I was seeing this guy also briefly, and I was like, and you know me, Mark, I'm always going on about how I'm a super smeller. I have a really sensitive sense of smell. And I was dating this guy. I was like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. And I had to say it to him because I can't live like that. So I said, something is wrong. You have to, but I could tell it wasn't just like I could tell it was like a tooth decay. I could smell that. And I'm like, you have to go to the dentist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he had a big cavity.
Yeah. Carlin's always nailing me with that kind of a smelling. She's always sniffing around at me like a little pooch and like identifying tooth problems. And I guess it is like kind of a triggering thing for me. Like, really takes me back to middle school. I'm so defensive. I so desperately don't want to have a stinky mouth. And in my brief spell when I was smoking cigarettes, what a nightmare that was.
Of course, that's such a cognitive dissonance you had to employ.
I became a little sneak, a little weasel. Like I would try to like rush up to the bathroom before she saw me when I would get home and scrub.
But wait, were you trying to hide that you were smoking or just not have to offend her with the smell? Like both. She knew you were smoking.
Yeah, so it was a little bit of both.
Right.
I didn't want her to, I was like, she knew about it, but I wanted her to know about it in a way that was like, it's out there at some time. I didn't want her to know that it had just happened.
And it's not following me into our home.
Yeah, it's not affecting you in this direct way. Yeah.
Do you not smoke anymore?
I had to quit because I had those panic attacks.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a couple of those and like nicotine induced. So then I obviously wanted to anyway, quit.
Nicotine induced panic attacks.
Yeah.
What are those like? Ooh. Like you smoke too much and then you're like, this fucking sucks.
No, it was like, I mean, it was like, I would just have like panic attacks where it was always right after smoking. I would feel myself. So it wasn't like just smoke. I'm also like just an anxious person. I am stressed as like a baseline. So it's not like nicotine would just turn a chill person into some whatever. But, I smoked and then felt myself like kind of having like an disassociative experience in my brain.
Whoa.
And both times I was right about to do a show. So I went on stage and had the weirdest set of my life.
And you said it was like making you forget or like not being able to like have memories, or you said it felt like what it would feel like to have dementia. That's how
yeah,
you described
it. It felt like dementia. Yeah.
Well, I'm proud to say I'm so lucky to never been addicted to cigarettes. Like I've smoked, I mean, it's not good, but I've smoked casually for so long, but I never need to have a cigarette. I can go so long without smoking and blah, blah, blah. I just smoke when I'm drinking, but I have not been doing that. I've not been smoking very much at all.
Yeah. Cause I was the pusher in your life.
Yeah, you were a pusher for a bit. Whenever I see our friend Rebecca, I smoke, though. I always bum smoke.
She was
from
my pusher, and I was your pusher, and now she's become your pusher.
A human centipede of cigarette pushing.
Yeah, I would smoke it and then exhale it from my butt to which you were sewn. You guys ready to give some advice?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes.
To the wider world.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start with some advice that we've received on our Google document.
Uh-oh.
And we invite you to submit any questions you have. Tell us what's going on in your life and ask us for advice. You can go to How Can We Help Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
Or on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Or you can email us at howcanwehelppod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
I believe.
A lot of channels.
Here's a question we got, and it's a spicy one. Hi, Mark and Jackie. How can I convince my girlfriends to have a threesome? I'm polyamorous, and I'm currently seeing three women. They haven't met each other, but they are aware of each other. They're all currently only dating me, but I'd like to see, but I'd like them to see other people, in brackets, ideally each other.
My jaw is on the floor. My jaw is grazing the couch I'm sitting on right now.
Jack, you didn't know you were walking into the sex den.
Yeah, Jack.
I'm ready.
This is sponsored by Club Oasis, by the way, this pod.
Oasis Ultra Lounge, Toronto's home of...
A home of what, Mark?
Sex, I guess.
It's mid-cigarette bowl.
I've never been.
I've never been either, but a lot of people we know have performed there.
Yeah. Performed for people that are sucking and fucking? Taking a little recess from the orgies, I think.
Right, yeah.
I hear it's the best pool in the city.
Oh, that's a shame that has to be the best pool.
Yeah, apparently they have the perfect, most pristine pool there.
But Jack, have you really actually heard that it's the pristine pool? Like,
I
so are you not allowed
that.
To
I
have sex
that.
In it?
No,
like,
I think you can have sex in it.
Then it ain't pristine.
Maybe pristine is the wrong word, but apparently it has a gorgeous view, rooftop pool.
Wow, but it's in, what is it? Rooftop. It's in the village?
I think so, yeah.
I'm trying to picture what the view would be. A lot of buttholes probably in private parts.
When I was a teenager, there were two movies, Showgirls and Hackers, that made the idea of sucking and fucking in a pool seem like the height of sexual
right.
experience.
But it doesn't actually really like mechanically work that well.
No, now I know that it's bad for a woman to get porked down there with the pressure of with the water pushing in.
Yeah.
And I think it would just be a lot of work.
It's not, the sensation isn't there either. It like takes away from everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know
it looks
you mean,
good on
though.
Camera.
Like, but, it does, yeah. like I think when I was a virgin, I think I wrote it down on a piece of paper as like a goal list to have sex underwater. It seemed like the coolest thing you could ever do.
Yeah. Well, in that scene in Showgirls is, an unhinged, like one of the, at the time I my jaw was
in the pool.
In the pool.
In the filter.
It was like the craziest, sexiest. Now I, when I watch it, I'm like, it's kind of sexy and kind of just like maniacal, but
I don't really remember.
She's got like Kyle MacLachlan pinned up against the side of a pool, and she's just like working.
Oh, she's doing just the like, work. Rah, 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 rah. Whoa.
Because everything about that performance is just at an 11, but it's the sexual equivalent of an 11.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna rewatch it.
It's
but thrashing. Have you done it on the beach, not in the water, but in the sand?
Nope.
Because that's bad for you too. And I've done that on Jericho Beach in Vancouver. And I got some, you know, there was some residual negative effects from just kind of doing that in the sand.
Strep throat again.
Yes, immediately strep throat.
No matter where you go, if there's a beach.
I got freebase syndrome from once on the beach.
I'm sorry, but okay, major sidetrack to this question.
Oh, yeah, we got
to
get back to the queue.
Polyamorous, three girlfriends. They all know about each other.
Yeah.
And he wants to get things initiated between them and have, but he said threesome, but that would be a foursome. His math is off.
Unless he wants the threesome to be just the three of them.
Oh, and what? He's not involved, or is he just watching from a seat?
Yeah, then he kick back, relax.
Yeah, from his video game chair.
Playing his rig.
Yeah, he wants his girlfriends to have a threesome with each other, I think.
Oh, okay.
It definitely, if I may say, and this may be as coming from a prude perspective, but this isn't doing much to change my stereotypes about people in open relationships. It's just like little piggies who want more, more, more.
Yeah. Like, this isn't enough for you, man. This isn't enough for you. That is so piglety.
It is piglety.
That's what I would call a greedy guzzler, you know? Like a person who doesn't like exhibit nacho etiquette, and they're taking all the good bits from the nachos and like... at dinner. My question, I always have a question immediately to address the question, but like, are these women polyamorous, or are they just like, okay, I'm dating this guy, it's okay that he's poly? Like, I guess they're into a, you know, kind of progressive lifestyle.
Well, he says they're all currently only dating me.
But, and he wants them to see other people.
He wants them to see other people. Ideally each other, but not, it sounds like he would also be happy if it was not just each other.
But this would imply that they're all bi. Every single one of them are bisexual.
I feel like you can make that implication.
Okay.
I feel like we could assume that they're all bi for this.
He better be assuming if this is what he wants.
Yeah.
What a toughie. How are we going to get these girls first of all, all in the same room?
Yeah, well, first of all, due to the rules of this advice podcast, we must take this man's side. We are honor bound to give advice to the one who asks for it.
Right, okay.
And make their wish come true.
Yeah. So we must side with this little piggy.
I think you're right, Mark. I think that my first advice would be, you know, what's the old adage? Don't go looking in other people's yards or whatever. Just be happy with what you've already got.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Waterfalls. Yes.
Please stick to the women and the gals that you're used to.
Yeah, don't get greedy. Yeah, I think I agree with your initial assessment. Don't get greedy, man. Like, you already have three different girlfriends, so don't push it.
Yeah, do you know how many of us would fucking kill for three
one,
girlfriends?
For even one
for
girlfriend?
For one girlfriend. You're lucky you don't get murdered by an incel.
Yeah,
for
yes,
your
asking
embarrassment
this.
Of wealth.
For looking this gift horse in the mouth.
Yeah, you're going to get Occupy Wall Streeted by the 99% over here.
But if I were to, you know, want it to happen for him... Maybe he's a really good guy. Also, that's a lot of work to want to take on. Like, I don't know. I feel like his situation, and I'm not judging polyamory whatsoever. I just don't understand all of it. Mm-hmm. But his situation with dating these three women who are all aware of each other sounds like a house of cards. It kind of sounds like a bit of a spinning plates kind of house of cards, precarious, delicate balance of the situation. And it seems like he's fucking asking for it to crumble or burn or blow up.
I love Lucy-ing it.
It's a lot of it's a lot of balancing, a lot of plates, and unless he's red frickin' panda, I don't see him pulling it off.
Why? Because he can stand up? What? Who's that?
Unless he's the Kung Fu Panda.
You mean Kung Fu Panda?
Red Panda's like a woman who performs at like sports halftime events.
They're called Red Panda?
Yeah, and she always like holds bulls and plates.
Sorry, what?
Sorry, I just really wanted to drop a Red Panda reference.
I have no idea anything about that.
I'm
going
to Google it to make sure I'm not wrong. Yep, it's a lady. She also rides on a little unicycle.
Damn.
Pretty cool.
That sounds really cool.
It's really cool. So here's, okay, there's really two ways you could go with this. One, you have an open conversation with each of these women about what you want and see what they think. Two, you get real sneaky.
We do love sneaking, and we love misdirection and sneaky, that we love disguises. Yeah.
You should really Dennis the Menace this.
Yeah.
You convince each of your girlfriends to dress up as you in a series of rooms and then trick each other into thinking they're you, and then each of them will sleep with you.
Yeah.
Forgetting that you asked them to do that.
Wouldn't they be wondering why they're sleeping with three of the same guy?
It would have to be one-on-one in a series of rooms.
So that's not a threesome, though.
No, he has to work them up to it slowly.
Yeah. Jack, what are you thinking about this?
I think it's unethical.
Uh-oh.
Which part?
I think, I don't know. I don't think, I think he should, I think he should steer clear of all of it. I feel like open relationships are always like, they always seem so messy to me.
Have you been in one before?
No, but both my previous girlfriends have wanted to do it. And then I read The Ethical Slut. I read that book, the polyamory Bible.
Oh, okay.
An ex made me read it. Not made, I wanted to read it. And I read it.
Yeah, no one makes you read anything. You only read what you want to
read. I read it cover to cover. And there was some, and a lot of it is like, I felt like I was kind of like reading a diary that wasn't mine, where it's just like, if you could just be your slut, be the slut you're destined to be. I'm like, that's not for me. I can't do that.
Now, may I recommend my book, The Unethical Prude? It's about how to cheat, lie, and steal your way to no
sex at
all.
To not ever having to have sex with anyone.
Yeah, and to hate that at all times. Yeah. To look yourself in the mirror and think, where have I gone wrong?
One of the unethical prude's tips and tricks is to lure a guy into a room, a brothel type situation, and then sneak out the bathroom window.
Yeah. There's a chapter on being a wallflower and crossing your arms.
Yeah. One of the perks.
So, Jack, you're saying he shouldn't even be in this situation to begin with. That's a very hard stance.
We're coming swinging at the polyamory crowd. It's three monogamous people.
Yeah, I've never been in an open relationship.
Neither have I, but I've always been curious about them. But I don't think I'd be able to handle one.
I couldn't handle one. And everyone I've ever seen, I'm sorry to say this, and I know it's not a huge test sample, but they end up in flames. I've never seen an open relationship, but I've every open marriage that I've ever known of personally has dissolved.
I know of two that appear to be working very well.
Oh, well, la-di-da, you and your highbrow, evolved group of friends.
Yeah, there it's two couples that are in my New Yorker book club. We just get together and discuss that week's New Yorker magazine.
And all fuck.
And then we all fuck. Except me. I excuse myself.
You write captions.
Yeah.
You caption the fuck fest that's going on.
Well, so we've got the advice, and the advice is you're bad for being in this situation, and don't pursue this, and get out of what you're in.
And you're a greedy guzzler.
Choose one. Our advice is choose one. Which of the three is your favorite? And if you need to, have some sort of skills competition. And then at halftime, I don't know, there's a certain red panda who might be able to entertain you and yours.
I'm trying to think of if I was dating a guy and it was an open thing and I knew he had two girlfriends, I'm thinking of what I would say if he asked me, like, oh, I want you all to like, but it's so funny that he said see each other. He wants them to see each other. So does he want this to be an ongoing, sustained, like, not a thruple, not a quadruple, but like a, what's when it's, wait.
Like a harem.
Oh yeah, yes.
It sounds like a harem.
Maybe it does sound like he wants a harem.
Yeah, a little commune sort of thing. It's basically he's describing the witches of Eastwick, and he wants to be Jack Nicholson, the devil, and he wants his three babes of three different hair colors to start sucking on and touching
cherries,
on each other.
And eating
but
cherries.
Joke's on you. The more you want from that type of situation, the more they're going to turn on you and trap you in a bay of televisions.
Yeah, and then some other lady's going to barf up a bunch of cherry pits.
That's right, and someone's going to die, and it's not going to be them. Okay, so I hope that advice helped. Feel free to write any follow-up questions. As always, we are eager to know if you implemented our advice and how it went. Now, we take a question that was submitted to a professional advice giver in a reputed publication. We give our advice, and then we see how it compares to the professional advice. So this is, once again, from Slate.com's Dear Prudence article. And here's the question. Bit longer. The title is Don't Call Me Karen.
Okay.
We're going to love this.
Yes, we are.
We love Karen humor here.
Karen stuff.
Anyway, here's the question. My partner has taken to accusing me of being a Karen anytime I ask something of a service worker. We're both women in our early 20s, and I left a grueling job as a restaurant manager several months ago for context. I like to think that because of my background, I know how to ask for things without being a jerk, and usually I'm only asking for minor corrections. For example, I like unsweetened tea, but I'm often served sweet tea. When this happens, I wait to get the attention of a waiter or an employee and just ask for a correction. My partner thinks that I should just let it go. We got groceries for pickup a few weeks ago, and the employee who bagged them put all of our squishy produce under heavy jars and cans. I went into the store and asked to return the product. I didn't make a fuss, raise my voice, or ask to speak to a manager. I just explained the situation, asked for a refund, and went about my day. My partner said that $20 worth of crushed berries wasn't a big enough deal to bother anyone about it. Part of this comes from the fact that she has severe social anxiety and is afraid to ask for help. She was once locked out of her apartment on Christmas and refused to call maintenance or a locksmith because she didn't want to be an inconvenience. She was going to sleep in her car on Christmas. I eventually just called maintenance on her behalf, despite her begging me not to, and got her into her apartment in the space of 10 minutes. I feel that her accusations come from her anxiety, but it just keeps nagging at me that maybe that's how other people perceive it too. Is it really so awful to politely ask service workers for corrections to honest mistakes?
Wow. It's so refreshing with these ones that are written to Dear Prudence. Dear Prudence gets a lot of detail that we don't get in our questions. Mm-hmm. So if I could just ask... this kind of detail, we love it. This gives us so much information to think about. The Christmas thing, the car thing, it's all so good.
Yeah.
$20 worth of berries.
We even know what the food was, how much. Yeah. I love it.
So next time, tell us like what your three girlfriends are like.
And their names, their first names, their last names.
Yeah, are they in their early 20s? Now, here was my thing about this that caught me off guard this time I read it, because I pre-read this. I forgot that they're in their early 20s.
Yeah, they're young.
Which is, really surprised me. To be that, both of those, like, distinctly, maybe I can understand someone in their early 20s being so anxious more than I can understand someone being...
forthright about their wants and needs.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree. I have to really take the side of the writer here. Like, if I had bought a bunch of groceries and somebody fucking crushed $20 worth of berries that I bought, I would be livid. I would be so mad. But I would be like her. I wouldn't be like, hey, I want the fucking manager and like make a scene. But I would say, I'm sorry, I can't eat these. And food is so expensive. And I get so mad when people don't bag groceries properly. There's an order of how they get put in the bag. You put the heavy stuff on the bottom. I even put it on the conveyor belt in the order that they should be bagged in. You can't let an anxious person run your life. This person was gonna sleep in their car. This person needs to smack to the head. Like, wake up. Hello, stand up for yourself. You don't have to be an asshole to stand up for yourself. But if I didn't say something about those berries, then like if I was in this exact situation and those berries got crushed, my poor husband would have to be hearing about it for a fucking week from me. I would be so mad if I didn't go back and say, these are ruined.
Yes. Confrontation is not just good for getting what you want. It's good for you.
Yes.
Because otherwise you will...
It is hard to fester.
Yeah, it festers.
Yeah.
But in contrast, it is good to take an L in silence sometimes.
Oh, sometimes. Absolutely.
Sometimes it's good to like sit with a big ol' L that your berries got smashed and not say a word. and go stoically on your along with your day. But I think this couple sounds like a good couple, and I think they do kind of need each other.
Yeah, maybe. And just for context on that, Jack, you are a youth soccer coach on what I think is the league worst team. I think your L in silence speech, sort of your famous speech.
Yeah, to make kind of like my for when I get my boys going in the locker room after it's quiet, and you just hear the silent crack of a Miller Lite.
Boys, this ain't our game.
Boys, when you get in your cars tonight, when your parents pick you up, no music. No music. It's doing it. Think about the L. Think about
silently
it heavily.
Ruminate.
And let it sink in and fester inside you for a bit.
And another thing,
boys, women only want one thing. An open relationship. But if you're not a slut, you're not a slut. You got to know that about yourself.
Yeah.
You have to pick your battles. You do. I wouldn't get mad if it was like one berry or a couple berries or an apple that got squished. I know you have to pick your battles.
I've told you this, Jackie, and I do agree with you. I'm more similar, unfortunately, to the person being described in this. Because I told you about the time that Carlin and I got stranded in Houston, and I've never sent anything back at a restaurant.
Oh, right.
Ever. And we had to go to a hotel, and we were so hungry.
Oh, yeah.
And the only thing on the menu was artichoke dip, so we ordered it. And it was Doritos and cream of spinach soup. And I tried my best to eat it. It was so gross. It was so gross, and we were so hungry. But we both are so timid that we wouldn't send it back.
Right.
So we just laughed.
We laughed
at how cruel a twist it was. Yeah. And then we just went to bed.
You know what, though? Considering what I said, you may be surprised to know that I never send food back either. Like, I really don't think in my life I have. But that to me is different, because that to me is like insulting somebody's skills, whereas the berry situation is me being like, you destroyed something that I own.
Your skills, your lack of skills, which I'm insulting, destroyed something that I own.
I don't know. I feel like they're two different things.
You don't think that those people might be a little bit proud of their grocery,
begging skills? Well, yeah. Listen, as a former Zehrs cashier, like Loblaws cashier. Do you know Zehrs? Zehrs is like what Loblaws is in small towns. It's like the same story. You know Zehrs?
Yeah.
Is there Zehrs out west?
There isn't, though, but I've seen it in small town Ontario.
Yeah, yeah. It's called Zehrs. Zehrs. Yeah, you've never heard of that?
No. Z-E-H-R.
Yeah, Zehrs. It's like, so in Guelph, like, we don't have just a Loblaws. We have Zehrs, and I worked at a Zehrs.
I thought you made that very quick.
And I was so good at packing groceries. And then back then, in that time, that era, there was still bag boys like that would bag them at the end of my till.
Yeah, you were in your bag boy era.
Yeah.
What do we do about this advice? What are they even asking?
Yeah, what is the question at the heart of it?
Yeah.
The question at the heart of it is, let me reread this. Is it really so awful to politely ask service workers for corrections to honest mistakes? So I think the answer is no.
No, it's nothing wrong with that.
It's clearly fine. And your partner is clearly a fucking freak. Like, I was split on who to side with until the final paragraph, where it was like, my girlfriend was ready to sleep
in
her
car on Christmas.
Which is,
that's so sad.
That's such like a cartoonish version of a non-confrontational person.
Very anxious person.
Yeah.
I think that that's not the real question this writer is asking. I think that that's their like ostensible question. But I think at the heart of it, this reader is asking like, like, how do we be together like this?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm getting, because that's not the question. She knows that there's nothing wrong. The way she phrased it, she knows there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, can a big dog date a fraidy cat? That's the real question.
A big barking dog.
Yeah. I mean, it is like, boy, this is a real yin-yang like situation. Real opposites attract, like...
Yeah.
Beyond. Yes. But it is good, as Jack was saying, to have the sort of matching energies, because I feel like Carlin and I are both cowards.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a real lack of adventure in our relationship. like real adventure. Like, we went to Mexico once and we were both so scared of critters and snakes that it really impaired our ability to do anything.
Where were you in Mexico that snakes were such a threat?
They were not. They were not.
So just because you're on the tropical soil, climate, like, yeah, there's got to be snakes around.
There was a lot of scorpions, but not a lot of like visible snakes. But one night, Carlin woke me up and she was like, there's a snake in the bed. And I went,
what?
And I like, my heart stopped and I got up and I got into like commando action mode. And
oh,
then,
good for you.
And then she very embarrassed, like finally was like, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And then we learned that it was just the sheet was poking up in a way.
In a way like a cobra raising out of a basket.
She literally thought it was like a cobra head coming
up. We have
up
a constrictor in the bed.
Yeah. But we're both truly cowards, but we can both be coaxed into adventure by adventurous, confident people.
Right.
But neither of us is that person.
I feel like I could be good for you guys to go on a hike with. I'm pretty adventurous on a hike. I'm safe, but I'm not like, I'm pretty, oh, maybe to a fault sometimes, fearless of certain critters and, you know, animals.
Yeah.
To a fault though, where people tell me I should be more afraid of certain things.
Right.
Like what critters?
Well, I was following a skunk last night. That's for one thing.
Mm. Oh, yeah. And those will get you.
Oh yeah. But I know how to follow a skunk and look at a skunk in a safe way.
To not get sprayed.
Yeah. Yeah. I do.
That's literally how I talk about biking in Toronto without a helmet, but I know how to do it. I know there's vehicular accidents, but I'm not going to get hit because I actually know. And then I brag about my wherewithal.
I hope someone would leave like flowers and a bit of a shrine on the plate where I get eventually get sprayed by a skunk.
Yeah. Sprayed to death. Pinned to a wall by hurricane level winds emerging from a little skunk butt. Do you guys want to hear Prudence's advice?
Yes.
Okay, here's what Prudence said. I feel like most relationships have a person who likes to speak to the manager because honestly, even if you're a non-Karen, sometimes the manager needs to be spoken to. And a person who loathes the thought of speaking to the manager. And typically, the more laid-back person gets their needs addressed and their issues rectified because their partner is willing to say something. As an extra measure of caution, you should ask other people if you come off as rude or obnoxious. Tell them to be honest. If they say no, keep going and work on ways that your partner can be protected from feeling embarrassed by these interactions. So if you're the one to go to the grocery store to demand justice over the crushed berry incident, she doesn't have to be there. If you have to complain to the server when she's there, you can say, I'm so sorry, I'm embarrassing my partner by doing this, to make it abundantly clear that she's not part of the exchange. And if she refuses to complain about her own stuff, that's on her and you shouldn't step in. If she wants to sleep in the car, she can sleep in the car. Wow.
Wow, I think that's really good advice.
That's tough love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that idea. I'd be like, you know what? Okay, look, I've got a bitch about something here. I'm going to get you a 99-cent cone from McDonald's and you go eat it in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be here bitching for a bit.
I think it's always good to turn your partner into a child, sort of.
You don't want to see this, honey. Go cover your ears.
You're too sensitive for this adult exchange that's about to take place. Why don't you go put your little earmuffs on?
And here's here's your iPad.
Yeah,
here's
being your like iPad. A martyr too, like, don't even look at her. Don't look at her. It's me.
Yeah, my partner thinks you did a great job.
Yeah,
but I got some issues. Yeah. I got some notes.
I think it's the best advice you could give, but she's also kind of passing the buck, being like, I don't know, ask someone else if you're being too much. Prudence. She's like, ask someone else. I guess someone else that's there.
Yeah, well, someone.
But who else is
there?
No,
I think like someone else in her life.
Oh, right.
In their life, like a friend.
Okay.
Just to see if this perspective from the partner is exaggerated or right on. Because maybe she is pushy. Maybe she is a bit of a Karen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know a couple of people who are always dickering down, and that's the real word, prices at stores. But at like not even at like thrift stores or garage sales, at chain corporate stores.
Dear God.
I know, it's crazy. I don't know how she does it every time, but like she's told me that like that she does this all the time.
And treating Robbie Walmart and Robbie like a Hoffman Turkish too. Bazaar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't imagine having, but I can imagine knowing Natalie, but to have that much energy and time.
Right.
Not to mention comfort in confrontation.
I know, it's energy. Now, listen, I do this at Value Village all the time. I'm always at Value Village like a couple times a week at least. And if I, like their prices are out of control. So I'm always saying, I need to ask you about the price on this. And I always say, I'm so sorry to bug you. I don't usually do this, but I do have to point this out. This button's missing. I'm going to have to fix this. I say, I can fix it, but it's going to take me some time. And like, I point out like these things. And they're always receptive because they always change the price for me because I'm nice about it.
Really? Yeah. It always works?
Yeah, yeah. You can find some kind of flaw in most everything in there.
Yeah.
And
including
like,
the workers.
They have the biggest scourge.
Are you ready to give some celebrity advice?
Yes.
Yes.
This is our final segment. So, Jack, you may not know this, but we've got a wide range of celebrity friends, and sometimes they write in for advice, too.
Oh.
Celebrities are just like us. So, here's our question this week. Hi, Mark and Jackie. People are always talking about, quote, short kings. Short kings, they say. Short kings. They say it so much you'd think it's great to be short, but then you also hear how women really just want to date tall men. Tall men, they say. Tall men. Oh, don't give me a short guy, they say. This one's written kind of choppy. For a short man like me, it's confusing, and at times it makes me really mad. Anyways, should I invade Russia? Yours, Napoleon.
Oh, Napoleon. God.
Napoleon wrote that.
Yeah, like these celebs are, you know, they're not that literate.
Napoleon.
Yeah.
I mean, that was handwritten, and some of it was really like you could really see that he was just thinking it through.
Yeah,
it was
handwritten, and it was stained with tea and burnt around the edges.
Yeah.
Oh my God, this is obviously classic, like, you know, taking out your. This is like very, like, I'm guessing this person is into Jordan Peterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, Napoleon's probably into
12 Steps to Life.
Yeah, Napoleon's got his whole army only eating beef.
Daughter only feeding him pure beef.
Yeah, yeah. Wakes them up every day and reminds them to clean their room.
That's the funniest part of all that shit is that he has to say, make your bed. These fucking losers. Sorry.
I actually, you know what? Obviously, Jordan Peterson is toxic in many respects, but I actually like the clean your room part of it. Just because I'm like, yes, sometimes a fragile young weirdo has just never been told by anyone who's not his parents to clean his room. And just that little bit of like, get up and make, and like, don't live in your own filth.
Of course it's good advice, but I just think he's like, men are being, you know, repressed and we're not being allowed to live. But also he's admitting that they need to be told to clean their room.
Yeah.
Even though they're these all powerful and you know, jilted, scorned demographic.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There's a couple Petersons arguing with each other, and one of them is very sweet, and then one of them is a fucking psycho.
I don't think this writer should invade Russia because it's so much to take on. Why do that to yourself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have room in your schedule for that?
I know that I've typically dated very tall men, but I find a lot of short men really hot, and that's because I'm really short. If I was a really tall girl, maybe I wouldn't want to like be with a shorter guy. Maybe not. But there's a lot of really hot, short guys. Who cares?
Yeah.
Stop being so resentful of tall men. Because there's a thing where you can be too tall. And I mean, this is not very nice of me, but I've said this to you before, Mark, about certain guys. I'm like, I'm sorry, that guy's too tall. That guy is too tall. It's too much.
Yeah.
I'd rather be with a too short than a too tall.
Yeah. The point is not that all bodies are beautiful. The point is there's also other bodies that are disgusting for the opposite reason of you.
That is exactly it. Like whatever you think is wrong with you, there's something wrong on the other side of the coin. That's worse even.
I think we should focus on what he's asking about though. And that's Russia. Invading Russia. You got to take this into account. It's big.
It's huge.
Big. It's freaking huge.
And the seasons are going to change and you might get swept up in a bad season or I don't know.
Yeah, let's just say wink, wink. You might want to wait until next spring. Wink, wink.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Maybe don't do it when winter's coming.
Yeah.
Wink, wink.
How many times did he try to do it? He tried to do it like twice,
right? He really?
Yeah.
Did he?
If you try to do it twice, it's like, okay, what do they say? Insanity. The definition of insanity is trying
doing
to do
something twice.
Yeah.
Russia said no once, girl.
Yeah.
How about you stop?
Yeah. How about, but when people tell you who they are, believe them.
Yeah. And if you're going to invade Russia, make sure you're getting enthusiastic consent to do so. If you're getting blocked the first time, don't try again.
Russia will absolutely cock block you when you try to invade it. It's interesting that now we've got a little flipsy-do.
Yes.
And Russia's the one invading.
Right.
It is the ultimate flipsy-do.
Can they just not? Like, it's so, I don't know. I mean, I'm not, you know, a geopolitical expert by any stretch, but why would you want to take all of that on? Don't you want to just like relax? And when you like, at the end of the day, like have a relaxing evening and like, why do you want to like be involved in an invasion and a war that's so stressful.
Yeah, kick back, relax, drink White Russians, and fix the streets of St. Petersburg.
So I guess we didn't really come up with too hard-hitting advice for this writer, but it's just basically like relax on the Russia thing. You're being a freak and stop being so insecure. There's some girl out, a lot of women out there don't care about height.
Yeah.
And there's options to fix your height too.
Like what? Breaking your shins in Korea or something?
Cosmetic leg surgery, micro osteo fracturing.
Give me some of that. I'd kill for a few more inches.
And if you're Napoleon, just get a real big coat and go around on a tall guy's shoulders and basically, you know, reap the benefits.
Headless horseman.
Ebony told me that he wasn't that short, and that was rhetoric and propaganda made up by the, who said it about him? Whatever enemy of France. But Ebony said that he's was a pretty average height, but they just made him seem short in like war propaganda cartoons and the caricatures.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I would also tell him, don't let these war propaganda cartoons start to gaslight you into thinking you're shorter than you are. You're pretty normal, I've heard.
Yeah. Was Napoleon the most gaslit emperor of all time?
Could be.
Name another gaslit emperor. I don't think you could. I really don't think you could.
BuzzFeed's 10 most gaslit emperors. I'm gonna pitch that that article idea to the West End Phoenix.
Yes, please do. Yeah, they
see
can
if
use
I
that.
Can see if I can somehow make it Dufferin related to Dufferin Street, maybe related to Ronci
Gladstone,
the Grove.
Yeah. I think we gave some great advice.
We always do.
Basically, to boil it down, get out of your thruple, quadruple.
Uh-huh.
You're a little greedy piggy.
No, be happy with your quad thruple as it is, and don't fly too close to the sun.
Oh.
Don't Icarus it.
Yeah.
Well said, yeah. Mm-hmm. That is truly the 21st century form of hubris.
Yes.
To try and turn a quadruple into
a full-blown orgy. So it's a long, sustained orgy.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So heed that advice. And sometimes you got to take a quiet L if your partner's an anxious little rat.
Yeah.
But sleep other times, I would add this new advice. Don't date that person. They sound too much. They sound too much. And also, most importantly, do not invade Russia and love yourself.
And live your life otherwise.
We gave some good advice.
Yep. Thank you for being with us, Jack. We love you.
A pleasure to be here. Love wins.
Love wins.
Love wins in the end.
And where can the listeners find you online?
Jack Hirschfield on Instagram.
Oh, yeah. We love you on Instagram.
And Jack Hirschfield on Twitter.
Oh, okay. Keeping it consistent.
Yes.
Excellent.
Very easy peasy.
And tune in to us and write us your questions. We'll always help you and give you pristine advice.
That's right.
You as can pristine find... as the pool at Oasis.
Oh, so rooftop nice. Sex club pool pristine.
Toe curlingly pristine.
You can find Jackie on Instagram. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Mark Little Comedy.
That's true. And follow us at How Can We Help Podcast on all of those platforms.
That's right. And thank you to our producer, Stefan.
We love you, Stefan.
Be well and heed us. Heed us.
Heed.
Heed.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network. Sonar!